Walking the Hallways. How to Be Relevant with Your Clients' Executives, authored by Brian Panosian, Principal Consultant, The Sales Coaching Institute. What does it mean to be truly executive relevant? How do you become relevant with the senior leadership in a company, including Fortune 500 companies? It is a business game changer if you become one of the few who have earned the right to be invited to the inner circle of the decision makers, long-range planners, and thought leaders of any company. It's a privilege that must be earned every day and could be lost in a moment, sometimes because things are in your control, and some are not. I will share with you real examples of how to know if you are truly relevant to executives. I will also provide examples of salespeople who claim an unexpected hallway. Hello from an executive makes them a true executive insider. When you have become truly relevant as a sales executive, you are given the privilege of walking the executive suite hallways without an appointment. You are able to approach an executive's assistant and not worry about being blocked. Moreover, you will occasionally have an impromptu high-quality exchange which will provide you golden nuggets of helpful information. All this earned trust leads to a significant competitive advantage and creates a barrier to entry that is very high and frustrating for your competition. I asked the SVP of the largest fully integrated utility in the South how she feels about meeting with sales executives and why she will meet with only a few of them. Her response has been a directional beacon for me to use in training young salespeople. Brian, I don't need you to tell me about your products, pricing, or how much better you are than your competitor. I have people do that for me. I need you to anticipate with me and provide solutions that keep us on track to meet our projected goals, regardless of how long they take to achieve them. What she is saying is that you will not have a relationship with her or any of her executives if it is based strictly on purchase orders. Many salespeople use a term called coin-operated. To me, this is a shallow, uninvested approach to a relationship with a customer. It's saying you want to get a piece of business, and then it's goodbye, God bless you. While there are times you will need to be transactional in your business, these should only be proof points towards much larger business opportunities. If you want the proverbial seat at the table with your executives, you need to be able to have conversations that may not include them buying from you initially. But you will forego a few small orders for a mega order that puts you in the elite category of sales professionals. Like many things in our life, the tensile strength of your relationships support growth, because you are trusted to keep the customer's needs first in all you do. One of the best closing interview questions I always used at Cisco with my candidates is, what do you want the ultimate measure of your success to be in this role? I would hear answers that range from, beat my quota, go to club trips, make a ton of money, be accurate in my forecast, get promoted. None of these are bad or wrong answers. I would say that 15% of the many young professionals I interviewed came back with the answer I look for and drives all other success metrics. My ultimate measure of success is my customer's success. Customer success creates that rare feeling that your customer is unwaveringly confident in you and your ability to make them successful and results in your executive relevance. Another example I want to share is a question you might not feel comfortable asking your executives. This question should come after you have established a solid relationship and you know they trust you. I would ask them to share the elements of their bonus structure. While this is a gutsy question, I have been told on numerous occasions that no other salesperson has asked that question before, and at that moment they knew I was truly invested in mutual success. Once I knew the elements of the plan, I would work very hard to help them earn that bonus if I could. Some of the elements were operational cost ratios, employee retention, continuing education plans for their team, public service, mentoring, quarterly board presentations, implementing technology advances, and high employee satisfaction ratings. Every time we put forth a solution or large project, we would make sure we created a message that directly impacted as many of the bonus elements we could legitimately tie into. To express this another way, let's reverse the scenario. Imagine at the beginning of your sales year, your customer calls you into their office and asks you this question. Brian, so what kind of quota did you get this year, and how can we help you make your number? What is in the pipeline, and let me prioritize these projects for you, as they have the largest budgets. This truly happened to me in my fifth year of covering this large utility. I was stunned but so pleased that I had earned this level of trust with executives. Thinking you are relevant to executives. So how do you know if you are truly relevant or you just think you are? As with everything I teach in my coaching sessions, I only use real examples I have lived through and experienced. Here are the 10 things that don't necessarily make you relevant to your executives, but some salespeople will claim them as such. While these are important to the sales cycle, they are not always game changers. 1. They say hi to you in the hallway. 2. They reply to your email or text. 3. They sign a contract. 4. They attend a presentation. 5. They accept your LinkedIn invite. 6. They meet you for an early cup of coffee. 7. They accept your invitation to the Masters for a day. 8. They go to an executive briefing at your corporate headquarters. 9. They accept your invitation to play golf. This is important, but there is a higher level. 10. Their administrative assistant responds to your Outlook invite for a meeting next quarter. As a manager in the enterprise space for Cisco, I had many salespeople come back to me doing cartwheels because they had the CFO or CIO say hello to them. Once, a sales executive was in a meeting with a mid-level manager, and the CIO popped into the room to ask a question of the manager. The manager introduced the CIO to the sales executive. This person came back and tried to claim on the month-end report he had a meeting with the CIO. This is not the rare air that truly relevant Top Gun sales executives enjoy, but it is a feel-good moment. True executive relevance. The list below are 10 real examples of what happens when you are considered relevant to a senior-level executive. These things really happened to me, but it was not by accident or coincidence. And true actions, you are relevant to an executive. 1. They invite you to attend a pre-board meeting to review their presentation and make sure we have alignment on long-range technology investments and projected ROI. 2. They invite you on an all-expenses paid trip to the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. 3. They accept your invitation to come to your lake house for a couple days of golf, dinner, cocktails, and business planning. 4. They allow you to come to the executive floor without an appointment and if their door is open to pop in if there is something important. 5. They introduce you to their peers in multiple lines of business and provide an endorsement for you and your company. 6. They invite to participate in 3-day member guest golf tournament out of town and stay at their house. 7. They invite you to fly on the corporate jet after attending a customer site visit to discuss a pending contract. 8. You are asked to speak to an internal advisory panel under NDA to discuss how they can improve their internal process and vendor relations. 9. They invite you to be a guest at their house, and they bring in a private chef from Augusta National to cook. 10. They accept an invitation to speak at a global sales meeting to share their experience with me and other best practices for sales success. Humbly, there are many more examples of friendships with executives that long outlast my time at Cisco or their tenure at their companies. I am sure you have your own examples you can share with teammates and people you might be coaching. So, what is the common denominator to help you get to the trusted advisory level? Listen to the great speakers, trainers, motivators like Mark Cuban, Zig Ziglar, Stephen Covey, Doug Dvorak, and they stress the importance of honing your craft to be able to build and grow relationships with your customers. The relationship's tensile strength works in good times, but it is really tested when things are not going well. Here is another real example. We were installing a significant part of a $50 million network replacement of the existing Nortel network at this large customer in the South. In month 9 of a 3-year rollout, things started breaking, and we had to pause the implementation. after bringing in the brightest minds, including Cisco fellows who held multiple patents related to complex networking topologies, we concluded that the customer did not have the skills or knowledge to move forward at the current pace. So, instead of embarrassing the networking team whose careers would have been in question, we took a different path. The engineers and architects decided to go with a cube design that we were confident would allow us to move forward. We let the customer know we would take the lead, but in addition, we would educate their team on all aspects of this new design. This created more goodwill with the IT team. They got certified on Cisco networking, and we slow rolled the project out over a few more years. The sponsoring executive and our team worked together to take the path of opportunity versus blame. The customer's IT team had never taken on a project of this magnitude, and there was clearly high potential for negative exposure that would be career-impacting. We came back with a plan we felt would create a positive outcome for everyone. We outlined a flight plan during the pause that included additional training, architectural design sharing, and a test lab to validate the designs. This created an immersive experience for our customer that taught them how to fly this large network, and the results were fantastic. We took a potentially disastrous scenario and turned it into a success and a best practice. This further enhanced our trust with the executive teams, which helped us win business in other parts of their company. If you have ever received an email from me, after my signature, you will see the statement, "Never let your customers fail." Go ahead and use this if you would like. Occasionally, customers will comment on this as you live it. In another real example, a large competitive bid proposal was planned for a ruggedized solution to be placed in a very sensitive area of the company business operations. The requirements were quite complex, involving federal laws, data security, and there was no room for any downtime in the network. Their supply chain team was preparing to begin a 90-day process to complete the RFI, RFP, and vendor selection. At this point, we had strong executive relationships and knew the cost and time investment required to go through this process. We decided to preempt the process with an unsolicited proposal that included all the key elements of compliance, product services, customer-favorable contract language, and the ROI. We knew the cost saving would play into this executive's bonus structure. We presented our complete plan during a 2-hour meeting and were awarded the contract under little-known sole source language in their supply chain charter. This language is in place that, on a rare occasion, the company has the option to preempt the RFP process if the business conditions required highly specialized solutions. We fit the bill and were awarded a multi-million dollar deal. So, what are the steps any salesperson can incorporate into their sales psyche and best practices? 1. The people you meet as middle managers may someday be the next SVP. Treat them as one today and find ways to help them accelerate their success. 2. Work inside the lines of business as much as you can, as this is where the work gets done. 3. Take care of the administrative assistants in a genuine way. I had a standing lunch once a year with 3 to 4 administrative assistants to say thank you, and always brought nicely wrapped gifts for each assistant. 4. Always have the best questions possible to ask an executive. Avoid the "what keeps you up at night" question. This is terribly insincere and overused. 5. Stay 100% present in each conversation. Put your phone away. The minute you look at your phone, you're telling your customer they are not important. 6. Know who is on the board of directors for the company. You never know when you might meet them someday. 7. Get multiple news feeds on your customer and stay informed. 8. Remember, if you are calling on the same people each week, you are not going to be relevant to anyone, including executives. 9. Participate in civic activities that your customer is hosting and that you truly believe in. Don't fake your interest, since it will show through and cost you. 10. Avoid talking about getting the deal done each time you see your executives, since it makes you appear single-minded on just getting an order. In summary, becoming executive relevant is a constant commitment to earn the right to have conversations with the most influential executives in your accounts. every member of your team must adopt the same approach to constantly improve and grow relationships at every opportunity. Be prepared with high-quality questions when the time comes to meet an executive. Keep your customer's success at the forefront of everything you do, and the results and success you want will happen at a much larger scale. 68% of customers quit their sales relationship because of an attitude of indifference to them by their salespeople. Work hard at your craft and always stay relevant. Let the Sales Coaching Institute professionals help you grow your executive relevance and sales performance.